question. You know, one thing I've started kind of learning, this is more internally for myself, but been trying to live more authentically in the last few years and trying to tear down walls that I'd put up between my life, my personal life, my business. You know, I ran a hostel for almost 10 years, and my friends would come see the hostel. They knew what I did, but they really weren't a part of my hostel experience. I kind of had a hostel life and my own life back in Nashville. Being out here, it's been all encompassing. You know, my life is the hostel now. The hostel is my life, and it's been kind of exciting to let those lines blur and
Hello, friends and travelers. Thanks for listening. You are riding along on the Hostel Road Trip Podcast. Our mission is to spread awareness of the true hostel experience in the Americas and share stories from the fascinating hosts who create those unique facilities. I'm your host, Jimmy Black, joined alongside co-founder of International Travelers House, Bobby Dyer. Each session, we sit down with hostel operators or travel influencers to hear about their road to success, discuss trending hostel topics, and close with tips for travelers who are seeking to have the ultimate experience when visiting each destination. You can't afford to miss this trip. Now fasten your seatbelts and let's hit the road.
Welcome back to the Hostel Road Trip Podcast. I'm Jimmy Dyer here with my co-founder and partner at ITH Hostels, Robert, and we're with Ryan from the Monterey Hostel, one of the coolest new hostels on the California coast. Thanks so much for everyone for being with us today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
And I've been telling Bob, I've really been excited to do this episode because, Ryan, your journey is just, you know, so fascinating. And we've done a podcast with you before. Over in Nashville, where you started out at the Music City Hostel, which we were doing a podcast a couple of weeks ago with the Santa Cruz Hostel, which is one of your former coworkers running that shop over there. But that also came from Nashville.
Indeed, indeed, yeah, we've spread our wings from our days in Nashville and slowly taking over California, trying to compete with you guys, trying to take you over.
Well, there's plenty of beautiful coastline, thankfully, so plenty of space for everyone. But I think it's such a cool story, and you know, just to touch base a bit on that, for those of you who don't know, Ryan was the manager of the Music City Hostel in Nashville. They actually had two locations. One of them was this beautiful brand new hostel that we had talked about in the previous episode. Unfortunately, had a terrorist attack a few years back that caused a lot of significant damage to that. And can you touch base on that real quick, just because it's such a wild story?
Absolutely. So for context, I'm Ryan Oding. I run Monterey Hostel, but prior to opening the hostel here in Monterey, I worked in Nashville and operated Nashville Downtown Hostel and Music City Hostel for almost a decade. I've been doing this now for over 10 years, and had the opportunity to come and try to save Monterey Hostel from going under during COVID. So kind of the background of this story is a little wild. I was working in Nashville operating the two hostels there. And when COVID happened, we started kind of looking outward and trying to find, I guess we knew properties were probably going to start going under. And so we kind of saw it as an opportunity to step in and try to help some other hostels keep going, but also to expand our footprint in Nashville and open some other locations. And so we started the process of buying Monterey Hostel out here. Hosteling International ran a property here for 20 years, and they closed it during COVID. And so we, as part of Nashville Hostel, the owner and operator there, purchased a property in Monterey, the hostel here. And our idea was that we would kind of use Nashville as a way to float a hostel here in California, and started the process to buy the property here. And a few days after we secured funding for this project, a guy on Christmas morning in 2020 built a bomb in his RV, and he blew up a city block in Nashville. And crazy enough, he was trying to blow up an AT&T data hub, and our hostel in Nashville was across the street from that data hub. So on Christmas morning, This guy blew up a city block, and our hostel was significantly damaged as a part of that attack in the city. Fortunately, none of our guests were injured. Nobody died from it.
Thank God.
We did have guests in the hostel when the bomb went off. We had staff going off, and yeah, all this was Christmas morning, so it was a pretty wild.
Merry Christmas.
Wild. Yeah, and. You know, sadly, we're still navigating a bad faith insurance settlement with our insurance company, and the future of our hostel in Nashville is still uncertain as we kind of have to work through insurance and recovery to figure out if and when we'll be able to reopen there. So, you know, it was kind of crazy that started this process of. Opening Monterey Hostel because we had good intentions. We wanted to step in and try to save a hostel from going under. And kind of in the process of doing all of that, we lost the hostel in Nashville, both hostels that initially helped make all of this happen. So it's been kind of a crazy last 4 years since COVID, trying to make a hostel happen here in Monterey and still trying to make a hostel happen in Nashville. But yeah,
wow.
It's been crazy.
That's a wild story.
It's been a crazy few years. Absolutely.
How did you come across the hostel in Monterey? Like, how did you hear it was for sale, or what was that process like?
You know, it's for me, I was, I had never heard of Monterey. The owner who I had worked for in Nashville grew up in California. He grew up in Orange County and he went to Cal Poly and, had spent quite a bit of time in Central California and in the Silicon Valley, like Bay Area. So that's kind of where he came of age and spent most of his early adulthood. And then life took him to Nashville and he kind of left his career, his job and started the hostels there. But he had roots in this area. And the reason he got into hosteling, or a big part of it, was from his experience staying at hostels in the Santa Cruz Mountains. There was a hostel called the Sanborn Hostel, and that was kind of one of his big introductions to hosteling. So when he heard that HI was closing down Monterey Hostel, he felt compelled to do what he could to try to keep it going, since this part of California is what launched his career into hosteling, and he wanted to find a way to get back to that. So that's kind of why Monterey was kind of piqued interest. And for me, you know, my kind of our business plan in COVID was I was going to stay in Nashville and kind of oversee the operations there. And the owner, Ron, and his wife were going to come oversee the development of Monterey. And then with the bombing, it kind of flipped all those plans up. They now had to stay in Nashville and deal with property there. And I essentially lost my job overnight because it blew up. So we had a conversation a couple weeks or days after the bombing when we were just like, you know, what the hell happened and what are we going to do? And for me, I was, you know, single and in a place of life where I was like, you know, hey, I'll go oversee getting Monterey open. So initially I was just out here to oversee development, get us through permitting, get us through like the design, the building process. But in the course of trying to get this hostel opened, it took 3.5 years for us to renovate and get open, which is a whole separate kind of crazy experience. I fell in love with Central California and decided I wanted to stick around and run the hostel here. So here I am. Yeah, we opened in March of this year, and it's been exciting.
That's amazing. I'd love to hear that that story. Or yeah, definitely want to dive into kind of the development process. We have a similar experience with Santa Barbara redeveloping that property and making it a hostel. But I'd love to hear your side of it. But I was going to add, it's so interesting that for hostel entrepreneurs and people wanting to get into hostels, a great thing you can do is start to find hostels in your area and see who the owners are and, you know, maybe partner up with them or go work for them and learn the hostel. As you know, many people run hostels for 10, 15 years and they get tired and they want to move on and they need someone to pass the torch to. And
absolutely.
That's a common thing that happens in hostels. So it could be a great tip there. But how about the, tell us about the development. Like, I know you could probably talk forever about it, but walk us through kind of the, you know, what you walked into on day one and then what was the, you know, what was the vision and kind of the steps and the hiccups along the way?
Well, yeah, I didn't know it was an existing hostel. I thought you just started this. So yeah, this is interesting. Go tell us how it was.
Right. So yeah, the hostel had been here. And when we acquired the building, it was in pretty, you know, rough shape. Rough might be harsh, but it was below.
Deferred maintenance.
Yes, lots of deferred maintenance. And the layout and the facility was pretty limiting, especially kind of in a post-COVID world. You know, it had 12, 13-bed dormitories, and it, I believe, only had like six or seven rooms on the property. So it held about 50 people, but all of those people were packed into really large dormitories. And there was one or two private rooms. You know, everything had shared bathrooms. So, you know, when we came in, we had decided we were going to renovate and reconfigure the property to make it more to make it nicer, but also to make the business make sense more and make it more, you know, desirable. So, you know, when I came out here, we hired an architect. We worked with an architect named Terry Fisher, who is on the board of directors for Santa Cruz Hostel. And she had formerly consulted a lot with Hosting International and had done architecture and design on several hostels throughout her career. So I worked very closely with her to kind of go through every step of the renovation and process. We got to redesign the building. We got to gut it down to the bones. But in the course of doing all of that, we found a lot of other problems with the building, maintenance or foundation issues. We had structural improvements we had to make to bring it up to code for earthquake. We had to redo the entire plumbing and electrical system. So, I mean, we really gutted the building down to its core, ran into several problems kind of along the way. You know, we got our plans, we got our designs done. I spent 17 months total waiting for permits from the city of Monterey. Wow. So that was 17 months. We had to carry the cost of the building and wait while, you know, we were just waiting on permission to begin construction. And then, you know, doing this project at the tail end of COVID, supply chain issues, getting materials, everything was so expensive and challenging and difficult. We knew that this would be, you know, a big project. We knew it would be more difficult than our development projects in Nashville, just because California is a more difficult state to do business in, and there's a lot more regulations and hoops. But we kind of misprojected quite how long it would take. The time we spent waiting on permits is about how long we thought the whole renovation would take. So that was maybe a bit of it was a big lesson for us in doing this. But
those are painful days when you're just bleeding money from everywhere.
Absolutely.
Light at the end of the tunnel. Those are the worst.
Absolutely. And just also at times not feeling like we had access to like building officials, that all the power was in their hands to approve our designs. And during COVID, there was no, like, you couldn't make desk appointments. You couldn't go into an office and like talk with a city planner or talk with a building official. Everything had to happen online, virtually, through like email. And so just all of those kind of challenges that existed because of COVID really compounded and really delayed this project. And we also were kind of railroaded into making a lot of improvements on the property that, you know, the building official at the time, they're no longer with the building department here in Monterey, but they kind of forced us to make a lot of improvements and changes that just cost a lot of money, and things were unexpected. So it was definitely it was a fun, creative process. I loved getting to design and open a hostel and work through all of that. But man, 3.5 years to do a 6,000 square foot renovation is absolutely crazy. And that was kind of our experience here in Monterey, trying to get something done.
Yeah, no,
yeah, I'd be curious to hear some about y'all's experience too with Santa Barbara, because I followed it really closely because we were kind of doing this at the same time.
Yeah, I feel like we had the same building inspector.
But yeah,
it was the same type of brutal thing. Yeah,
yeah, we focused on restoring the original bones. So because we weren't changing things, that expedited the process quite a bit. We were just like, the building we renovated was brutal. I think there was homeless people living in there, and it was just nasty. But, you know, we, you know, gutted it down to the studs and then, you know, put new drywall and paint. And if you're not changing stuff, then you don't, you know, you're just restoring stuff. There's different regulations.
Totally. And that had been our intention and our objective. We didn't touch the outside. We were just doing an interior renovation. And then we ran into an issue with a wheelchair lift. Our building's split level. So it's when you walk in the front, there's stairs that go up and stairs that go down. And we had a wheelchair lift. It worked. I used it several times in the property, but it didn't meet current code and dimensions for a wheelchair lift. And we ran into issues with elevator service providers in the state being willing to come service this lift that was kind of out of current code. And it led to this whole problem between like our ability to repair and fix this lift and get it serviced, to get approvals with the city. We ended up getting kind of our hands tied, and we had to build a ramp on the outside of the building, build a deck, cut a new entrance into our property. And so it just opened this can of worms that we had to kind of chase down and work through because of a lift that worked fine, but we couldn't get an inspection on it because of how old it was. So it caused all these other delays and add-ons in the middle of the project that were very costly and time consuming to do.
Yes. But
we're now fully ADA accessible. We have two wheelchair accessible rooms. One's a dormitory. Rooms are en suite here at Monterey Hostel. So we have 13 rooms. They all have en suite bathrooms. And, you know, it's a nice property. But we made a lot of improvements we hadn't necessarily anticipated. But it's done now. So
yeah.
Come use
it. Once it's done. Once it's done, though, you feel so proud and official about that. And, you know, you got
absolutely
all your so congratulations on that so much. But Bob brings up the good point of, you know, in the Santa Barbara experience we had, it was definitely, they were like, here are the original blueprints from as it was similar to your building once previously a hostel. And they were like, if you keep everything the same as this hostel was, you know, then we'll give you the pathway. But then even with that, then it came down to funny as it is a handicap bathroom, you know, and one inspector came in and was like, okay, I want the toilet here facing this way and all that. And then the other one comes in, no, I want you to turn the toilet over this way. And it's just that whole process of, all right, go back to the drawing board, find the contractor, get everything redone, replumbed, all the electrical's got to move. Now the handle's going to go over here. And you're like, wow, you know, the whole place took this long, and then one bathroom took the same amount of time, you know?
So yeah.
You can get just that one little area. And then, as you said, as you open the can of worms, oh, you open up that wall, I see that this is, you know, this wiring's not up to code anymore. You got to redo all that now. So it can really be a challenge in California, and we feel your pain.
I know you do.
How about the first opening days, kind of moving towards the open? Is that's always an exciting time. Walk us through, say, the first 100 days of when you got open.
Well, you know, leading up to it was so chaotic because we had been delayed for almost 2 years on this construction project. And so I just was like, I kind of lost a little bit of hope that we were ever going to get our occupancy permit to open. And we still had quite a bit of stuff that we were waiting on different contractors to complete. And the building inspector showed up for our initial inspection and ended up kind of passing us. Like we had gotten through all the major items, and so I hadn't expected to kind of get greenlit to open quite so fast. I had a few weeks between getting permitted and getting the building kind of fully operational, or I had like a week between the two to kind of get everything finalized. But we opened in March 1st of this year, and man, it was my mom and her friend came for the week to kind of help me get the hostel up and running, and they cleaned windows and just helped all of this. So you know, I cashed in a lot of favors from friends and family and community that I built along the way, and the time to get this place open. It's like I'm very fortunate to have had good friends that run Santa Cruz Hostel and some of my other hostel friends that I've made over the years come out and just help me set up beds and like get mattresses and wash linens and, you know, do all the things that you need to get the place open. Fortunately I did have guests on opening day. I didn't pre-book stuff more than, it was like a week out. But I got a few reservations on our first night. So that was exciting. And then the first few weeks, there were days where nobody was there. It was just me in the hostel. And I was like, oh, this is a failure. You know, the business is gonna crumble. March was pretty slow, but I could feel like, you know, it picking up week after week, and feedback was really good. Positive. People were excited. And then April just took off and we like got really busy really fast. I hired somebody part-time and then like within a month was like, okay, I need you full-time. So good problem to have. And then May and June and July have been really, really strong and positive here. This month good. Of July, we're almost sold out every night. Week, Monday and tonight, we're 100% booked, you know, on a Monday and Tuesday, in Fuck the yeah. summer. So it's been, I expected this to do well. But I've been surprised at just how busy we've been. But also how awesome and easy our guests have been to deal with. So, it's been really fun and exciting so far. We're about 4 months in now. And, I have a lot to see. The winter months are always a little more bearable in this part of California. But, business is doing great. Feedback's been great. My staff, my like volunteer program, everything has been going really well. So it's been a great summer so far. Very excited.
Nice. Now you've ran a great hostel in Nashville and in Monterey, what have you learned that you feel like, the secret, or what's the big thing you focus on to try to be the best you can be?
That's such a big question. You know, one thing I've started kind of learning, this is more internally for myself, but I've been trying to live more authentically in the last few years and trying to tear down walls that I'd put up between my life, my personal life, my business. You know, I ran a hostel for almost 10 years and my friends would come see the hostel. They knew what I did, but they really weren't a part of my hostel experience. I kind of had a hostel life and my own life back in Nashville. Being out here, it's been all encompassing. You know, my life is the hostel now. The hostel is my life. And it's been kind of exciting to let those lines blur and just, bring in friends and people and let them be a part of building this hostel. You know, my hostel is filled with murals and different artwork that a lot of friends that I've made have like created and contributed to. So it's like I walk through the hostel and it's just little like touches from all my friends and all my community. And it's been super cool to just kind of blend all of that together and build a business that is reflective of kind of my character and my personality and my aesthetic. And it's been encouraging to see people so responsive and positive about the hostel here. So I guess if there's a secret sauce, it's just try to be authentic. And I think people are drawn to that.
I love that topic that you brought up, the blurring of the lines and kind of just accepting it for what it is, because, you know, the more and more that we've done it, we feel that the best hostels are those genuine mom and pop hostels, you mm-hmm. know, that are run by the owner who's living on site. And as you said, the character of that owner, you know, the essence, there's an essence, you know, that's the feeling and the vibe and the special sauce that makes it different than a, you know, a branded hotel or a chain.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so I love that you've seen that and accepted it. And a lot of times people will talk about the opposite side of you had, you know, I'll hear, oh, you got to have separation. You know, you got to keep things compartmentalized. You can't let them bleed over in them. And I understand that from a health perspective, but you know, there's also the vantage point that you've chosen to do this. You want to be a hostel owner or a manager, and you really got to accept that this is an experience and a lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely.
The lines are blurred. You know, that if you really want it, if you want it to be all that it can be and be all you can be, you really have to let the two things just intersect.
Absolutely.
And be one in the moment with it. So awesome there. And I, you know, that doesn't surprise me to hear that you've accepted that and you're having so much positive feedback and such a great run right now in the summer, because the guests feel that, and it is rare and unique, and you don't get it at the Motel 6 or the Hilton or an Airbnb. You just don't get that type of old school mom and pop feel. And that's what makes people want to repeat guests, come back. They want to extend their reservation. They feel that energy, and it could be contagious. Yeah. So cheers on that.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And it's been special too. Just the guests we've had have been really good quality guests. And, you know, I came from two big hostels in Nashville. That Nashville's a party city, and we weren't necessarily party hostels, but there's partying all around. And Monterey is quiet. It's a little sleepy town, but it's exceptionally beautiful. And there's some really cool things to see and experience here. And so our guests have been pretty low maintenance and not super needy. So I feel really, you know, fortunate to have kind of landed a hostel and created a place where our guests are awesome. Like, they're just really easy. And I am grateful for that. I feel like I struck gold.
What type of guests here? Nice. Well, Monterey, I mean, that's just a gorgeous spot. I'm going to ask more about the geographical location, but what are the guests like that you're getting? Like, are they authentic backpackers? Are they American hotel Airbnb guests that are trying out hostels for the first time? Who are they?
It's a mix of families, which is a demographic that has surprised me a bit. I would say any given time, half our business is families with young kids. People that are here, and then the other half is your traditional backpackers. You know, we get quite a few people that are traveling up and down the California coast, people that are, you know, coming to us from your hostels or heading to your hostels from us. I get that network of coastal travelers here, and then being kind of a destination a couple hours in the Bay Area, we do get tech workers and people that, you know, want to get out of the Bay Area and come to Monterey and see things here, but don't necessarily want to drop the exorbitant prices on lodging. So it's really a good hybrid of just kind of families and chill guests, and then the traditional backpackers who are the bread and butter of a hostel, right? And they're the ones that you know, I love having an option for solo travelers. I don't ever want that to go away, even though a big chunk of our business is private room rentals now. So yeah, they're cool.
Oh, sure. The solo travelers definitely brings the vibe, and I think a lot of times the other groups that are booking are looking for that vibe. But I also always say, with the families, the future backpackers of tomorrow are those little kids.
Absolutely.
So that's a great thing in the long term, as we've been trying to do that with certain locations where it is able to have a family friendly environment, but also we also try to be responsible with certain locations where it's a DJ party on the deck every night. It's like, okay, let's not put them in that situation. But we have started to see that same great demographic in those locations that we have opened up to families and, you know, younger parents with kids, and it can be great for the business in the industry in the long run. But in Monterey, just so people can get a better grasp on it geographically, you know, tell people a bit more about like where you're at in relation to, you know, other cities in California and how people might be able to get there via transport. Like, tell people a bit about Monterey.
Yeah, great question. So Monterey is on the California coast in Central California. So it's south of San Francisco, but north of Santa Barbara and LA in Southern California. So Monterey sits on the northern tip of Big Sur. Big Sur is an amazing kind of natural region of California. Very dramatic coastline. Highway 1 runs along the coast. So Monterey is kind of the northern access to the region of Big Sur. Where we're at is full of parks. There's a ton of state parks in the area. We're right on the Monterey Bay. So Santa Cruz is on the north side of the bay. It's a beautiful area with big sand beaches. We have giant redwoods. We have pretty dramatic rocky coastline here. There's surfing, there's scuba diving, snorkeling, kind of all the water sports happen like right here in Monterey. Our location's a couple blocks from the beach. We're also right by the Monterey Bay Aquarium, which is a really cool nonprofit organization that works on water sea conservation here. So Monterey's a cool destination. It is kind of a quiet town. It's not a nightlife city at all, but it's a really beautiful place. So it's great for families. It's great for, you know, romantic travel, but also a fun place to go with friends if you just want to backpack, be outside, camp. Like there's just so much to do and see here if you enjoy the outdoors, and it's exceptional here. So yeah, it's a cool town.
Yeah, really the whole PCH is such gorgeous. It's great to see all the hostels come popping up on the PCH because it makes it so much more accessible for travelers to go to, and it is such a unique and beautiful place to experience. And you have the train that goes up, you know, which is a cool way you can travel by train. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's good for all of us hostels here, you know, on the coast to have a good network to send people mm-hmm. to. I mean, the last few years, there'd been a big gap between basically LA and San Francisco. You guys taking over Santa Barbara was huge in filling that in. And then now Monterey, we have San Luis Obispo. So there's a great little network of hostels up and down the coast. Listeners should come to California and drive up and down the coast. It's amazing. It's so cool.
Nice. And then anything on the future plans for you guys? Are you going to go back to Nashville? Well, we'll see what happens in Nashville, but is there any other growth ideas on your mind?
Well, yes and no. I mean, right now my primary focus is on making sure that the hostel here can stabilize and be financially viable and sustainable for the foreseeable future. So there's still challenges that I have to go through. Have a lot to prove, but so far, you know, things here are looking really positive. The future of Nashville operations are still up in the air. I wish I had a more concrete answer, but we just don't really know right now until some other things kind of work through the system. You know, I've got my eyes set elsewhere in a few years. I mean, my dream is to open a hostel in Big Sur. I think it's a long, challenging road to do that, but there's a need for more affordable access in Big Sur. And I have some different creative ideas to figure out a way to maybe bring the hostel there, even if it's just seasonal and temporary for certain parts of the year. So we'll see if that comes to fruition, but that's kind of where my eyes are set. I want to make sure that this part of California stays accessible. People have the ability to come here and see just how beautiful and amazing this part of the state is.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Now, from I consider you now at the 10-year mark, we are a young industry and we're unsaturated in this country. So there's not that many people that have 10 years experience. It's funny as it is, like when you are talking with your friends, you know, a lot of times they don't understand how small the industry still is and how few operators within the industry would have that much experience. So I consider you a Jedi now within the industry. So, you know, now that you've got all that experience under your belt, I want to get some feedback from you on how you think the existing associations are going. So we have the North American Hostel Association, mm-hmm. which we've been going to and we're a part of, and they are out of Portland with Jim Kennett yep. and his team there. And then Thea and Sydney have the Hostel in US,
yeah.
You know, network and the Gathering in Denver, which we also both go to. What's your feedback on those two networks? And have you gotten any action and bookings from that Hosteling US that the gals created?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I've gotten much referral business, but I'm sure that I have. I should track that a little more specifically. But more broadly, I'm really excited for the future of hosteling in North America. Just the two conferences you mentioned over the last year I went to, and frankly, just seeing peers, people that are kind of in a similar phase of life, deciding to run and operate hostels and invest their creativity and their life into this industry gives me a lot of like hope and excitement for the future of hostels. There's maybe not a ton of people in our industry that have been doing this 10 plus years, but there's a lot of young energy coming into hosteling, a lot of new operators and owners. So I don't know, I feel really excited about the future of this industry. It's been nice just having on a personal level, just having connections to other hostel operators. There's maybe what, 200 hostels in North America? Is that kind of the estimate? Like, there's not many other people out there that do a similar to exact same job as, you know, me. There's about 200 of us. So just having that connection of people that know what we do and kind of know what's involved, is meaningful. But then I also feel a good, sense of renewal and energy in the hostel industry and a desire for all of us to keep creating hostels that are awesome and unique and, really changing the reputation of hostels. So I'm stoked on the hostling community. I love what, hostling.us is doing and Neha is doing. So yeah, I'm jazzed to see what comes of it all, but, I feel very encouraged by the people that I've met and, the other hostel operators that I've had the like pleasure of working alongside and getting to know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And encouragement to everyone listening to join those associations and groups, because as Ryan said, the connections that you can make can really be profound and an amazing experience. And it's always a great time, but I'm excited also to see what's created. We've even talked about maybe the, not in any way trying to create an association, but just having like a Pacific Coast Highway, California collective of hostel affiliates, right?
Yeah.
You know, with like a landing page where we're all on there. Yeah.
Well, I need a good map of all the hostels in California, because I do. I have guests that ask, like, what hostel should I go stay at, you know, as I go up and down the coast. So, yeah, we need, you know, there's always a million things we hostel operators need to do. But it'd be great to have, like, a map or something to share.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but,
hey, come on. Go to the Hostel Road Trip website.
That would be
something. Published a new map where you can have an interactive map. Well, it's all the hostels that have participated. So, but we hope to get everybody on
episodes.
There.
Yeah,
I've done episodes. Cool. So awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining. Yeah, great to hear your I didn't get to come in earlier, but I love your outlook on hosteling. And, you know, there's a reason why host is in the word hostel, you know, because it's about the host. And like you said, being authentic, you know, it's like you're hosting. We always act like you're hosting your best friends from coming in. And people want that personal experience, because that's when people put down their guard and connect and make friends. And, you know, that's where the magic happens. So it sounds like you're doing it right. And yeah, that's awesome to hear. Keep it going.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.